We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details. Have you heard of Gold Belly? It's an amazing site where you can get the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the U.S. And it's perfect for game day, Valentine's Day, big parties, events, you name it. Gold Belly will ship you iconic Chicago deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's, the original Buffalo Wings from Anchor Bar in Buffalo, Guy Fieri's unbelievable trash can nachos, real Philly cheesesteaks, or even the legendary Franklin's barbecue straight from Texas right to your door. And with Valentine's Day coming up, they've got great gifts like award-winning dinners from Peter Luger Steakhouse, world-famous macaroons from La Durie, and even the exact cake served at JFK's wedding to Jackie O. I can't wait to order some Lou Malnati's. Getting authentic Chicago deep dish shipped right to my door? Incredible. So whether you're looking to turn game day into an unforgettable experience with friends or want to impress the loved one on Valentine's Day, go to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code ZABE. That's goldbelly.com, code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for 20% off your first order. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What can I say except you're welcome?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I checked the schedule, Naki. I'm like, holy shit, he was in L.A.
12 hours ago.
Night.
I mean, this time 12 hours ago.
80 degrees L.A.
The fact that you are even here today, Mr. Naki is beyond. It really warms my heart. A Terps fall to USC, 88-71
for a while. Yeah, deceptive score
for their fourth straight loss and their seventh in the last eight games. Tough year.
Yeah,
it's tough year for Coach Buzz and the team.
Yeah, it hadn't been a whole lot of fun.
And I was going back and forth between your game and the game on ESPN2 because my boy Dave Feltman was doing Santa Clara and San Francisco.
Yeah, he's got a nice little niche, doesn't he? They're giving him those West Coast.
And he lives in San Francisco, so it's an easy. Yeah. That was an easy game for him to
does
do.
The West Coast, a lot of West Coast Conference games.
Were you playing? What do you call it? Guide roulette?
Guide gambling.
Guide gambling, right. Just see what can pop up.
I'm just really glad Buck didn't say he was watching MeTV or whatever show. You watched Twilight Zone and Bonanza.
The Honeymooners.
I'm glad you didn't tell me you were watching like The Virginian.
No, I was watching Virginia and Bonanza. But The Honeymooners, for those of you who have never seen it, you know, Jackie Gleason was one of the great, particular actor of all time. And that is one of the fun, his expressions.
Yeah.
I mean, I implore you to watch that show. He's hilarious.
Okay. The support, hilarious. Support. Art Carney was brilliant.
Even Jane Meadows, all of them. You know,
Norton.
You know that I know that you know. That was an Eddie Murphy thing. You saw that, right, Zabe? Murphy doing Ralph Cramden.
I know they're not making television like that anymore.
No,
there's a lot of things, music, television, where they're not making anymore.
Twilight Zone. And then one of my favorite episodes the other day, I don't know if you watched much of that, but a Boeing 707 goes through some kind of a sound barrier.
Dennis is here.
Hey, brother.
Power Lunch. Happy Give it up for Dennis. Happy New Year. Thank you.
Goes through
a
sound barrier, and they go back in time.
Oh, yeah.
And they look out the window. They don't know where they are, and they can't make radio contact with anybody. And they look out the window at what was Manhattan, and there are dinosaurs there. The people on the plane look out and see dinosaurs.
It's and the fabulous. Dinosaur special effects in 1959 when they did this.
Not so very good. High tech.
So black good. And white,
wasn't a,
bad
wasn't
dinosaur
a Spielberg show. Thing. But that's a great episode. And I was up flying yesterday, as a matter of fact.
I know. Buck Hance is a pilot. You don't own your plane, but you rent hours in it. Is that right?
Yeah, you. That's what you do.
Would
if
you like
don't,
something
you
to drink? Oh, Dennis
yeah,
left.
He's so offensive. That's okay. Yeah, you rent if you don't own, obviously.
Are you in the market to buy a plane?
I've thought about it. I haven't pulled that trigger, and I may not at this stage. I just rent. And, you know, like I said, when I went to Harrisonburg with some buddies to get our chili dogs, I said it was the best $560 chili dog I've ever had.
So you could accommodate Zabe and I.
Absolutely.
I literally do want to fly with you, but isn't there a regulation of number of pilot hours before they permit passengers?
I've got all that.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
But is there that regulation where they don't allow it, or is it not recommended?
It's not a number of hours. You accrue hours, obviously, in your training, but then you get checked out by an instructor, and the instructor says you're good to go. And then you can rent any number of aircraft that they have there, Pipers or Cessnas.
Yeah, obviously JFK Jr. just piled anyone he wanted into that plane. And
well, that had nothing
very, very badly.
Yeah, I mean it was bad because it was his wife and her sister. But
yes,
but it wasn't that they piled him in there. It was all the series of events that led to that crash.
I don't mean that they were
now
piled.
Now
you're
going to go down the rabbit hole.
Now we're down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, we're going to get the play-by-play.
I am fascinated.
Something about the horizon, right? I mean,
Well, he was not instrument rated, and he flew into instrument rated weather.
Yeah,
and he didn't know he was upside down.
Spatial disorientation.
Didn't know he was upside down until he was in the water.
Right. Right.
And that was
But you
horrible.
You will go up with me?
Yeah.
Seriously? I mean, people say yes and then they freak out.
No, I would love to go up with you. I'd love to podcast in the air. I've never actually done an
now
episode
that would be
of the Zapecast.
Is that technically the Mile High Club?
Can we get it a mile high?
Please. Don't put that on me.
Don't put that evil on me.
I don't want that reputation.
I just got
it's
the
bad
ick.
Enough to be here.
Just got the ick thinking about it.
Yeah,
really?
I know.
Jesus. All right, but Naki, you would go with us too?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Fucking A, let's do it. Bucky's, we're going down to Bucky's for a...
But it's going to be loud, though. It's loud, though, right?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If you're doing a podcast in one of those planes, I'm not sure.
Oh, it's ambient noise.
It's pretty loud.
Yeah.
Now, you can do it. I mean, I've done recordings up there where I've spoken and you can hear me.
Sure.
But... It's pretty loud.
We'll figure it out. Let's start with this, boys. Buck Hance, how many caricatures do you have here at the Palm Tyson's Corner?
Two.
Just two. I thought it was three.
Unless they've added one, which I don't think so. There's one.
How is it? I saw the one. I took a video of the one coming in.
Yeah.
And I said,
Where is it?
It's right as you come in. You can't miss it.
Can I draw a mustache on that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Asking for a friend.
That would be funny.
Put
somebody should do
frog lips on it, mustache.
One day I walk in here and there it is with a mustache. Like a Raleigh Fingers, you know.
You want to hear a funny prank?
Handlebar.
Some of the guys and I have talked about trying to do at a nice golf course. You go to a golf course that's got some history and it's got old photos framed on the wall. Find a way to surreptitiously slip one of the photos out and put a photo that's sepia-toned of you and your knucklehead buddies in the frame.
That would be great.
And see how long it stays up there before somebody notices.
Right. That would be awesome.
Or not to take it out, just put it in front of the...
That would be hilarious. Yeah. I'd just like to see a big picture of your head in there.
Yeah.
Just,
it's like, here's Gene Saracen visiting in 1946 to Mid-Pines. And then here's, you know, Lyle Jackson spread all over the place drunk in 1999.
I did something similar to that. God bless, rest his soul, when my dad was in the hospital. You know, they have the thing on the door that has the nurse's name and then all the doctors and everything. I've done this a couple times. I have pictures of it. I'll send it to you. I erased the doctor's name and I put up there, Howard Fine Howard.
Nice.
Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. I put it up there.
In that order.
Yes, of course.
Were they named Howard and Fine?
No.
No.
Oh. That's the Three Stooges.
Oh. Stooges. Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay.
Stooges. Howard Fine. Did they people catch it?
It stayed there for about a day, and then it was erased, and then the real doctor's names were put back in there.
Funny. All right.
Hilarious.
Naki, how are you doing? How was the flight back?
Long. So we, you know, the game was at 7:30 West Coast, 10:30 here. Yep. By the time we got... boarded and everything like that. It was 12:30 in L.A., 3:30 here.
3:30 a.m.
Landed here about, and then you lose the hours.
Landed about 8.
8:15, 8:20.
Okay.
BWI.
And you showed up here. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's big.
Naki, I would not have forced this date upon you if I knew this was so onerous.
You're playing hurt.
Playing hurt. I love it.
Yeah. Did you shower or not?
Yeah. I couldn't shower on the plane, but I showered when I got home. Was that your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what does Andy Enfield have going on out there?
That's not Andy Enfield anymore.
Oh, that's right.
It's Eric Musselman.
Oh, he must. Yeah. What's he got going on
at
USC?
He's got some guys, and they had a couple guys who were actually hurt. In fact, their best player, guy who had a triple-double earlier in the year, was Maryland's two-guard last year.
Dude.
You're kidding. So
they paid him $2 million to go out there. He's their starting point guard.
Dude.
And yeah.
Who is it?
Rodney Rice Jr.
Oh,
yeah. He would have been a monster for Maryland this year. But when Kevin Willard left, there was that delta, that there was 3 weeks before they hired Buzz. Rodney was basically a free agent out there, and there were people throwing a boatload of cash at him.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
$2 million.
$2 million. Yeah.
What is Coy? Is that the Maryland's guard?
Maryland's this year?
Yeah.
Oh, Diggy Coy. Yeah. Coy.
What does he make?
He's probably making $300,000 or $400,000. But he was at Kansas and didn't play much last year.
Yeah.
And he's a 5'8" guard. You know, he explodes every once in a while. Last night he had 31.
Yeah.
He's a 5'8" guard.
Can you speak honestly about how it makes you feel, Naki, that the point guard you called last year for your Terps,
it's infuriating,
is there on the West Coast at $2 million for 1 year? He can transfer again if he wants. Portal's wide open.
Let me tell you what happened too. I'm going to throw another one at you. So he goes out there. He has a monster first six games of the season, including a triple double. I had a game winner at one point in a triple overtime game.
At least they're getting their money's worth.
20 gets hurt.
Oh.
He's out for the season.
But he gets paid.
So he still gets paid.
Just like the NBA. The contracts are guaranteed.
And one of the things that's just coming to college sports is individual disability policies for these guys so that the university isn't on the hook should a guy get hurt. But oops, he got hurt.
Oh, my God. You
still got to pay him.
Yeah. Wow. Got to pay him. He's making the money.
Do you know nobody knows. What do you think is the best hope to turn the spigot of madness off, or at least reduce it to a trickle?
So,
because I don't know if there's an easy answer.
I'd give you one one good first step. So I'm all for guys being able to transfer because coaches leave all the time. I would let guys transfer one time without having to sit out.
Okay.
After that, you're sitting out.
I've been told, though, that that would lose in court.
Well, all the NCAA does
is lose in court.
They're 0-48.
They are. They've never won. They're like the
Washington Generals.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that would help, but you're still going to get guys leaving and getting paid a ton of money to play somewhere else.
So now there's this thing called rep share, right?
Yeah.
So you are, to a degree, you're a little limited on what the athletic department can pay, but that does not limit what boosters can throw in there.
Okay.
So the rev share applies to athletic department money, and that number is like $21, $22 million. It's usually split up between three sports, you know, football, men's basketball.
Is this for all schools?
Yes, but, okay, there are a lot of caveats here. What if you don't have football? So school like Marquette,
VCU.
Marquette, VCU, Creighton.
George Mason?
Yeah, you know.
George Mason, by the way, is 17-1.
And
when will they be ranked?
Yeah, it's nuts. But the rankings are basically dartboard stuff.
Yeah.
Like it
at this,
you know,
point in the season.
Yeah. So at any rate, there's so many different parts of that. But again, it doesn't really apply to what a booster might kick in individually for, you know, to get somebody paid.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
And your boy, what's your boy Hemby making? He's at Indiana running in the backfield.
Yeah, I don't know. Football's a little different animal because you got so many guys to pay.
Yeah.
And he's not even starting.
Right.
You know?
Kalon Black, JMU.
Yeah.
We finally beat Oregon. JMU.
Are you claiming a partial win?
Goddamn right.
Listen to the anchor.
You have to get on the text trail every time. Now, when Indiana plays, it's all night Buck. All night Buck JMU talk.
I've got a little triad with Buck and Buddy Christensen from Golfdom, JMU alums.
Yep.
That's the little circle I have.
Yep.
But they're very much claiming
a piece of it. Texted Scott the other night, Van Pelt, too, because I don't know if you saw the game, but they did a great piece beforehand about the movie of Kurt Cignetti. It was really well done. And they isolated and singled out all the JMU players, which was fabulous. But I just said to Scott, you know, this is a huge story. This is Kurt Cignetti, who was at JMU for 2 years and then left and took 13 of his players, four of which are impact players now. I'm talking about Pons, the defensive player of the year, Aiden Fisher, the linebacker, Elijah Surratt, their best wide receiver who's going to go pro, and Kalon Black. And these guys are like impact players for Indiana, all were at James Madison playing.
Do you think he'll take those guys to the Steelers next year when he goes?
Buck, what would you like to drink?
A Diet Coke with lemon. Be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Dennis.
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
I know he is.
Just throwing it out there.
I know. And look, with his ego, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
But
he does have.
Oh, he's got
a
huge
ego.
I mean,
he is a great coach. They're so disciplined and so good.
Yeah. Although, I'll tell you what's going to be interesting. We're off the subject, but I'll tell you what's going to be interesting, Zabe. They haven't played a team. Miami's as close to an NFL team as there is. They're nasty.
Yeah, they are.
I'm not going to say they're dirty. They might be dirty.
No, they're just physical.
They're physical and they're nasty. Thanks, Dan.
Are you guys considering your meal for the next time Dennis pops in? Power lunch here
so
at the
into
Palm.
This discussion, I wasn't even
but
thinking
we've,
about
I've
it.
Had you here so many times. You know the three choices that are on the menu. It's either the veal or the chicken parm. I think I'm going to go against my normal tendency and get the chicken parm today, believe it or not.
Look at you, living on the edge.
But you can order off the power lunch, and it's wonderful. Lobster
normally
bisque,
get the fillet,
palm
right?
Caesar salad, mixed green salad. There's your first course. Second course is penne alla vodka, chef's catch of the day.
No parsley.
Chicken parm. You can substitute shrimp for $5 extra, or the center cut fillet. And then get the third course, which is the Palm Zeppoli or the Junior's New York-style cheesecake.
Junior's to go is always the move, right?
The cheesecake is pretty good.
It's good stuff. So while you're considering that, I have the movie up here, the fake movie that they were going to make about Cignetti. I don't have the audio on it, but there you can see it right there. I think it's, knock you, maybe the best story, sports story in my lifetime.
It's incredible
that there's this coach whose dad is in the Hall of Fame,
Yep.
Who was consistently, systematically overlooked as if, nah, you got nothing going on. He got so pissed off about it, he voluntarily bumped down in salary. Wife was not happy about it. Went to some small little shit school, no offense, IUPA, and won there, won again at Harrisonburg, got hired by Indiana, was the cockiest statement ever, I win, Google me, and right. is backing it up so loud.
He did was an assistant in Alabama with Saban.
I know he was, but that's when he was sitting there going, hey, I'm putting my time in. I'm on staff. Why am I not getting any offers? Why am I not moving up the ladder?
It is a remarkable story. I think the other part of it is, whether you like him or not, the fact that each one of the final four coaches had coached at Alabama is remarkable.
Well, that's why Saban, to me, Saban is the GOAT in college.
That is telling. You know,
but I will tell you this, and I say I'm that much older than you, but when I worked in Atlanta, I covered Bear Bryant's funeral, and I covered him.
13 years is a lot older.
Yeah.
Congratulations, old man.
Thank you. As big as Saban is, Bear Bryant was a god.
I know Bear Bryant was a god.
I mean, a god.
I know.
Bigger than Saban.
I'm talking modern era. Saban
okay,
is
that's cool.
The
I'm just saying, also, to put also, it in perspective.
Imagine Bear Bryant negotiating a nil deal with a wide receiver. Can we hear what that would
the
sound
guy wouldn't
like?
Get in the room.
How about him coaching against other teams that actually had black players?
I mean, a concept, huh?
Like, we're going to talk about this, about the concept of comparing eras, in which is you can't do it. And that's one of the reasons, because because like shit like that.
That's what I say to all the baseball record nerds. I like to shut them down going, oh, was this when they let the blacks play the game too? Because that's a huge part of the numbers that are now being introduced. And then, of course, you got all the Latin players, and you got the Far East players now. So, anyway. So, the problem with college football in this current playoff format is these games are too fucking far apart.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, by the time we get to Monday for this title game,
it would have been 10 days.
You'll need a refresher on a few things.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's still going on.
Yeah.
You know, proof positive that it has all gotten away from us. I don't know if you saw the new proposal from CFA coaches.
I have it written down right here.
Okay.
A vote to make red shirts in college football, not just four games is the cutoff, but nine games.
So you can play the whole year.
You can basically play the whole
and
year.
And then you hold a guy out.
And then red shirt and get another year.
Another portal hop
and another $2 to $5 million.
Who suggested this? Where in the world, in what context does that make any sense?
Didn't the coaches propose it?
Somebody has had to propose it and then...
Don't pretend like your brethren in the coaching business, Naki, don't often propose shit.
I am a molder and builder of the character of young men.
Right? You keep saying that. You coaches often.
I've helped that for a long time.
You guys often revert to the most cynically self-serving ideas. So I'm pretty sure some coaches thought, shit, I'd love to have a 9-game redshirt ability, even though you'll probably lose that guy to another program.
I wonder if the guy who ramrodded it through happens to have some stud hoss that, you know, that he wants. Sure. He played 8 games this year.
Right, but you better be able to keep that stud hoss.
That's the key. Who's going to say he's transferring to another school for a couple million?
Yep. Well, something's got to give. I don't know how long this Wild West can continue. It's not sustainable.
Yeah, the question is who's going to make the rule. It's not going to be the NCAA.
You have to win in court. Yeah, either have to win in court or I don't know what's going to stop it right now. Come on in, Dennis. Let's make our orders right here. We'll do it live on the air. Why not? It's easy to do. Mr. Buckhantz, you are leading off today. Can you handle the pressure of the restaurant leadoff?
I'm a restaurant and hotel guy. I'm a hospitality guy.
Do you often hit first in ordering when there's not females present? Because obviously, etiquette and courtesy means the ladies go first.
Well, I think it's Beauty and the Beast. So, I'm ready.
Naki, do you ever knock yourself down the batting order if you're undecided? where you go, I'll go last.
Oh, I do that a lot.
Yeah. You do.
If you don't know what you're going to have.
Sometimes
everybody does.
I purposely, Dennis, go to a restaurant and then say, you know what? I'm going to bat last, but I don't choose it till we're starting to order because I like the juice of it. I like the pressure of it to say, oh, here he goes. He's getting the salmon. He's getting the steak. It's coming close to me.
Yeah, I'm not that involved in it.
I don't really. All right, Buckhance, make your order. Dennis has other customers in the restaurant here.
Dennis, could I do the Caesar with a little extra dressing? And I'll do the center filet, medium rare.
Medium rare. Caesar, medium rare. Yes.
I guess he's going last, so I'm going to do bisque chicken parm.
And a side of scallions for Buck Hansen, a small carafe, a little dish of those. We can sprinkle those on liberally to everything. I would like the bisque and then also chicken parm, please. Thank you, Dennis. Okay. All right. So anyway, where were we? College sports.
Yeah. There's got to be a rule, even for coaches. Coaches can't just jump around. Somebody goes to a team, they have to sign some kind of a contract where they're there, like you say, for, I don't know, 2 years.
Well, if you want those kind of contracts, you're going to have a CBA and a negotiated settlement, and more than just the house settlement, more than just the money. It's going to have to be services and contracts and everything else. Although the quarterback at Washington that tried to bounce, once real lawyers advised him, not the shitty agents that told him, hey, you should leave, when they said, no, you're in for 2 years of litigation, this is not going to be good for you.
He goes, held out.
Oh, yay, Huskies.
I have that hat around here someplace. You know that?
Exactly.
The blue hat.
That they gave me.
I honestly think, the Power Five schools are all going to break away. I think, and that they will create some sort of a ruling.
A super league
mechanism.
Run by private equity is what I've heard.
Yeah.
60-team super league, private equity. Apparently the AD that was at Syracuse that just went to Michigan is a big private equity guy. He's floated these ideas. They say that this is going to be where it ends up.
I think also, you know, it's funny, you're talking about the way Cignetti worked his way up. I think anymore, if you're hiring an athletic director, you're hiring from the business world. You're not hiring from the athletics world. From the athletics
world. The gym teacher world.
Yeah, Maryland hired a guy from the business world.
Did UVA do the same thing?
Not yet.
But they went and got that quarterback for a lot of money.
Yeah, they did.
That's why they were good this year.
Yeah, they were. They're playing the game at UVA.
Yeah.
There was a recruit.
They have the alum and the money.
Yeah.
There was a recruit, I believe, a football recruit, I think at Utah. I'm looking for the actual tweet here. He signed with the school on January 2nd, and then by the 7th, he had bounced and gone to the portal. High school guy, top 60 recruit, signs with the school, ready to go, and then he's like, nah, I'm out now.
Yeah, you can't. We can't
so
have
stupid.
That.
That's just, it is so stupid.
You can't have that.
All right, I got a story for you guys. I'm not sure you're aware of it. Are you aware of the Dennis Schroeder versus Luka Doncic situation?
Slap? Is it sort of a... Yeah, I know there was an altercation.
Schroeder got some kind of a fine. I saw. I didn't...
Okay, this is good, Buckhands. Schroeder was fined by the league for allegedly waiting after the game to confront Luka Doncic.
This is not the first time this has happened. Not between them, but other players have done this.
Yeah. Meet me in the parking lot.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Well, it's because apparently Luka has been calling Dennis Schroeder a bitch for weeks at a time and was taunting him at a recent game saying, you should have taken the $80 million deal. I guess Schroeder turned down an $80 million deal. Which is pretty incredible to think of, he's a decent player with a nice little yellow patch of weird hair.
Little skunk, skunk thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The Frenchman. But, I mean, this is a little bit nuts, isn't it?
I always think it's nuts for a Frenchman to call anybody a pussy.
Well, it's Doncic, I think, calling Luka that, but there might have been some back and forth on that.
I'm sure there's some jawing going back and forth.
Okay, yeah. Which leads us, while we're on the Lakers, to this LeBron patch. Where do you guys stand on a Where Do You Stand Wednesday? That's an old bit I used to do. On the LeBron patch, that he was like, oh, what a wonderful surprise this is. What an honor. When everyone around the league is like, man, Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, they're the ones that push this on the league. It's a bit much for me, boys.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm a little tired of. Well, I'm tired of LeBron, and I'm more tired of LeBron hate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Am I hating by saying that the patch is a bit much?
No. But that's a part of the sort of. You sent us a text this morning about the whole Woj. That's a part of the sort of where we are at writ large, you know, in terms of the not just the sports world, the political world. People, you know, different folks telling us what to think, what we're supposed to
too much
to
conflict.
Believe.
We're at each other's throats too much. We just need to go out and have a steak and have a lunch and be with friends.
Everybody's got an agenda. Yeah, or chicken parm.
or chicken parm is the case.
I'm curious to see what this looks like today because I didn't get it. Normally I do, and it's usually the gigantic plate.
Yeah.
But can we just focus on?
Oh, I think he's focusing.
Focus on the stories, not the food, for God's sakes.
Went to Philomena the other night with Joel Myers, your boy Joel Myers.
Joel Myers.
And Dolph Sand. And I have a picture of that I can send you. And I got their veal chop parm.
And?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
He's pulling out his phone now.
Yeah. Send it to me. Yeah.
You're sending me. Those are not the photos I want sent from you. Oh, by the way.
Those are not the ones you usually send. Oh, by the way.
Right. It's like, oh, I got a text and a picture from Buck. This is great. Let me open it. Oh, it's just food.
You boys are horrible.
And then you look at it, you go, wait, is that food or is that something else?
Am I supposed to squint?
Oh, my God. That's a bone-in veal chop.
Yeah. They pound the veal chop and then they make a Parmesan out of it.
Pound the veal chop. That's a phrase. Is that a
euphemism?
It might be now. It might be pound the veal chop.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and pound the veal chop.
Nothing
better to do.
Here is the actual tweet. Rit Holtzman, who let's see if he's got any credentials or just a guy, contributed to Nick Film School. Okay. He says, it's honestly hard for me to express how much I despise the Woj/Shams role working as shills for agencies and players under the guise of news breaking when the cost of that early access is to deliver an unapologetically biased version of that very news. Amen?
Yeah. And this sets me off in another way as well with regular news, but you can speak to this and then we can talk about that.
Well, I want your opinion. Do you agree? I totally agree with this point that this is brokered information that the agents and players want out, and it's not just Woj and Shams. It's especially Schefter and the like in the NFL. They're laundering information for the agents.
As I said earlier, this is where we are. This is, to me, no different than Fox News on this side and MS Now or whatever they trade.
MSNBC, yeah, MS Now, yeah.
You know, basically shilling. She used the word shill.
Mm-hmm.
They shill for a different side.
Well, you saw what the new anchor on CBS did last night.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tony Dokapool.
Yeah, I mean, that was
that was
horrifying.
Sort of where we are. But it's incumbent upon everybody to get some fucking education. You know, you got to see through what a lot of this is.
But I think the point of the tweet was, we can be better. We should be better. Why is it so hard for ESPN to employ an honest newsbreaker in the NBA?
Yep.
And maybe the ecosystem of the NBA won't allow it. Maybe somebody who's trying to be an honest newsbreaker gets shut out and therefore has no access and therefore never breaks any stories.
In any realm, politics, entertainment, sports, is there an honest news broker that you can
They are that nowadays they're independent entities that go out because they have no access to lose, so they're not afraid of going, hey, look at this shit going on.
What do you think about Stephen A? Do you think he's honest and gives an honest opinion?
Stephen A is essentially a Jim Henson Muppet. He's an outrage Muppet on ESPN. He gets paid very well for it. He knows how to play the role. I'll give him that. But to take him seriously,
but you think he won't go as far as to make a derogatory statement.
He will
for fear
sometimes
that he might not have access.
Well, there's certain guys he has engaged in a way that is like WWE, and it's all for clicks and views.
LeBron
is one of them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So there's that. Do you know who is king coach now in American sports? The longest current tenured coach. It's Eric
Spoelstra.
Spoelstra. Now that Tomlin and Harbaugh, numbers 2 and 3 on that list, 19 years, 18 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's Spo. Spo said about being the longest tenured coach, some people could look at it as a badge of honor. I look at that as a disappointment to this profession that there's not more coaches that are given an opportunity to work through things.
Yeah, I can see his point, but, you know, his situation's a little different because he had Pat Riley there who was basically, you know, your coach for life unless you just screw this up so badly. And he's so well-respected, too, whether he's won or not. I saw a lot of reaction from Heat fans saying, yeah, well, he's done nothing for us. We were picked to be sixth in the East and we're eighth or whatever they are. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with who's playing on your team.
Sure.
I mean, when Shaq was playing on his team, they were great. When they had their three guys, LeBron and the guys that won championships, D-Wade. They were great.
Yeah.
And then look at these guys when they go somewhere else. Or look at who, you know, when Michael Jordan was playing with Scottie Pippen and all of those guys. And Phil Jackson was like the master. So a lot of it has to do with who's on, thank you, brother, who's on your team, who's playing, you know? I mean, coaches are great, but you got to have the players.
All right, last word before we dig into our appetizers. Coach Nocky, wouldn't you want to say, wouldn't some people be fair to say to Spoelstra, hey, if you think it's disappointing that there's not more coaches, you can resign anytime. You can go hit the beach anytime.
I feel a lot of different ways about what he said. First of all, I do think that guys get fired oftentimes too early.
In the NBA?
Well,
or all
in anything, okay. You know, any paid professional coach. But I also feel like the greatest gig in the world is to be a fired NBA coach. Because you're going to get hired somewhere else. You're going to get paid, and there's an incestuous thing in that league where generally you get recycled,
especially if you have any kind of reputation, reputation,
or you got any. How many assistant coaches are on these NBA staffs?
It's ridiculous. Oh, there's like eight of them.
Some teams stack them in the second row.
Yeah.
Well, you have to. They can't all sit.
I remember Mark Cuban when he was, you know, when he was really an active owner was he would. That's what he would do with ex-players that were his favorite guys. You know, he would give them an assistant coaching job because, you know, just to hook them up.
Well, look at all the guys in the league that were players that are assistant coaches now. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But Phil Chenier used to tell me that, you know, when he played for the Bullets, they had like one assistant or maybe two. Now there's like 10.
8, 9, 10. If you're coach number 9. And you're sitting in the back of the bus, literally the second row behind the team.
Which is okay. You know what I'm doing? Probably making $300,000.
I'm going to wear beige and keep my mouth shut. That's what.
Those guys are not making.
Yes, they are.
What?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are well into six figures.
So, what do you say then when you're out at a bar that night? Yeah, I'm the eighth assistant for the
Heat. No, you don't say eighth.
You just say
what do you say? I'm the assistant coach?
Associate head coach.
I am the assistant to the regional manager, Dwight Schrute. Yeah. I am the eighth assistant. And when somebody presses you on it like, yeah, but there's 9 of you guys. What do you do? Do you tell them, well, I'm in charge of the second media timeout?
Well,
what about the first media timeout? No, that's some other guy's role.
If the girl you're talking
to, second media timeout,
seventh assistant.
If the girl you're talking to does, you're not going to tell her you're the eighth assistant, and she's not going to ask you that.
She's not going to ask you. She's going to look
you're
at this
a coach with the Heat.
She's going to see if you're over 6 feet tall, which you probably are, being in the NBA, and she's going to look at your watch and see if it's a Breitling or if it's a fucking Casio. And the night will progress from there as the patron will dictate.
I didn't realize that the watch was a priority.
I thought it was the car.
It's not a priority. It's a signal of, do you have money? Okay. How much money do you have?
Noted.
All right, let's dig into our appetizers. We're here at the Palm for a power lunch. Chris Nocky, Steve Buckhantz, the boys are here. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Strap on, strap in. I don't know. All right, we're back. It was a delicious and wonderful power lunch. That chicken parm was elite. I mean, like top five I've ever had in my life. Sizzling, crisp.
Look at the remnants. Does the camera pick up the remnants?
The camera will pick up the remnants, and the mic picks up your chewing right now, which many listeners will go, that's disgusting. Thank you.
You started a little too early.
I know. I do rolling opens. That's the way it is. So, Naki.
Yeah.
You are like, both you guys are like older brothers to me. Because, Buck, you're 70. That's 13 years older. Naki, you are?
68.
Yeah. So, you're my older brothers. And I listen to what you guys have to say. I don't necessarily agree with everything, but I'm like a kid. I hear it all. Certain things stick in my mind.
You should listen. Because the older you get, the wiser you are.
I agree.
The younger generation should know that. They often don't.
No.
But as you grow older, you are wiser to a lot of things.
Right.
So I would say, and I always felt this way about people that I respected that were older than me, absorb what they have to say.
Yes.
Absorb it.
So Naki taught me one of the greatest quotes of all time since Mike Tomlin's now, you know, stepping down from his job at Pittsburgh. He's always had all these great pithy quotes. My rear view mirror is smaller than my windshield. Yeah, cut your eyelids off was another one. They were doing like the best Tomlin bangers. Many of them don't make any sense. Such as, you know, he would say something like, well, the buses don't leave on time and we ordered the strawberry anyway. What?
Yeah, they're not complete non sequiturs. Right,
exactly. Yeah. But the way he would deliver them was so full of confidence and everything else. The phrase, Naki, that I always go back to is, the dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. Do you know who said that or where you got that from?
It was attributed to Hubie Brown addressing a group of campers one day, and he wasn't getting the response that he wanted, and he just decided to, it's basically his way of saying, the hell with you. We're moving on with you or without you.
Okay, so that's what you take it to mean?
Well, no. That's the context in which he said it. I take it to mean you can in a position of leadership, you can get shit rhetoric given back to you. I don't give a fuck. We're moving forward.
Right.
You know, that's how I apply that.
Fair enough. I take it as a great constant reminder that no matter how big a deal you think you are, or no matter how much you might think you've been wronged and you've got recourse and I'm going to sue and I'm going to do this, the dogs bark, but the caravan moves on.
Yeah.
People forget. So I cooked this up specifically to use for stories that merit the phrase, the dogs bark.
I'm honored.
But the caravan moves on. Here, let me.
that's the dogs barking.
Oh, God, sorry about this. I got to reroute this to the mixer on my computer here.
How do you do that?
How do I do what?
How do you reroute to the mixer?
Well, you go under here to sound, Buck Hintz.
Yeah.
And there's output variables. I have about 12 of them open here.
That's the one thing that the older people Bluetooth. Are not wiser about, how to do things like that.
I'm going to go to the Rode Connect system.
And I'm lucky to get on AOL.
Should come through here now.
AOL is still legit.
Here we go.
Oh, that's legit.
No. Moving on.
Here come the wagons.
Props.
That's it.
Good. That's good.
That's it right there. Theater of the mind being radio podcasting.
If you had just opened a segment with that, I would have said,
The dogs are barking.
Yeah. And that's the caravan moving on.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at some point, the trail boss says, we're going.
That's it. We're done here.
And then, much like the thing you thought was the biggest thing ever, and I can't believe this is happening, it's quieter.
It's all noise.
And quieter.
It was all noise.
Smaller and smaller in the background. Buck, what do you take that phrase to mean?
Same thing. You can bark, you can complain, you can yell, you can yap all you want. At the end of the day, we're moving on. We're done here. We're moving on.
Yeah, life moves quick.
Yeah.
The question I was going to ask you guys is, what are some of the other greatest coaches' quotes that you can think of? Pithy, funny, one-of-a-kind quotes. To me, the John McKay quote when he was the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they were going 0-14, when they said, one reporter said, what do you think about the execution of your team? And he said, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it. That's classic.
That's a pretty good one
right there.
That's a
great one.
Can we do mythical coaches too? Can I explain this?
Okay. Like a movie coach?
The great writer Dan Jenkins.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who wrote Semi-Tough.
Yeah.
Among other things. Look what's behind you, Zabe.
Oh, wow. I don't know what that is.
Oh.
Are those plushies for us?
Do you want to sit on it?
What is that?
Well, that's a loaded question.
They're Labubu.
Ah, there you go.
Who are they?
We don't know. But you could get yours.
I don't think there's a need for that right now.
That looks like the actor. The
okay.
Wow.
All right. That was a
surprise. You don't often get something like that on a podcast.
That was they're listening right there. We'll see this quietly.
It's like live TV. You know, it's like.
I mean, that was a couple of really well kept 35-year-olds.
Yeah, no question.
Spending their man's money at the Palm on a Wednesday. You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
No.
They're pretty sporty.
That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. You can't attribute it to a coach, but so true. The two of them. First one is, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned."
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, nothing was ever truer than that.
Very true.
And the other one is, money is the root of all evil.
Oh, well, that's true.
How about this? So the
did you finish your thought no. about
go Dan, ahead, Dan Jenkins, who wrote Semi-Tough, and he wrote, he had a couple books about this mythical Southwest Conference school, everyone cheating their asses off. This is back in the 60s. He was writing these books. But one of the signs they had up in the locker room was, pretty co-eds don't suck losers' cocks.
Oh, thank God we're a podcast, not subject
to FCC
regulations.
Can you even say that on a podcast?
I just did. Here, the Labubus are back.
They're back. They're pressing their Labubus against the window right now. That's so funny. Yeah. What the hell is that, by the way? These are like little pillows that these ladies have brought with them, and now they are, they're sporty. That's some elite thigh gap going on right there. That is like five-star Athlon's five-star thigh gap going on.
Those screaming Lululemons. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Some other quotes. Newt Rockne, Eric Russell at Georgia Southern. At Georgia Southern, we don't cheat. That costs money, and we don't have any.
Fair enough.
Frank Howard at Clemson said, I had a lifetime contract, but the administration declared me dead.
Well, that's the Edward Bennett Williams, right? When he talked about George Allen, I gave him an unlimited budget and he exceeded it.
Yeah. Okay, there's that one. Let's see, Murray Warmath of Minnesota. If lessons are learned to defeat, our team is getting a great education. Shug Jordan at Auburn says, always remember Goliath was a 40-point favorite over David. It's kind of cute right there. Newt Rockne, the only qualifications for linemen are to be big and dumb. To be a back, you only have to be dumb.
In mind, when Newt was coaching, they were wearing leather helmets, right? And no face guards, nothing.
Okay.
Newt and Bobby Ross lookalikes, by the way, I always thought.
Interesting.
It would not be a Zabe cast with the boys here without getting Buckhead spooled up on sort of local TV or just network TV, sort of picadillos, things you don't like as a former television broadcaster.
Yep.
during our lunch here, you were going off on the tendency now for local news anchors to say, look at this.
Yeah. Check this out. Take a look at this.
Hey, here's some video.
You're watching the video, but if it's dramatic video, like water rushing down and a guy saving a dog from the drain.
Right.
Take a look at this. It's like, dude, I'm looking at it.
I'm already watching.
You don't have to tell me that. Just read the news. Okay? Come on.
Okay.
Do you want to share your idea about the YouTube idea that you have?
So,
you worried that people are going to pirate that?
No. So today we're getting a light sprinkle of rain. We were supposed to get a snowstorm on Sunday. They were hyping a snowstorm. I had to stop in my tracks, Buck, because the local weather person, I forget who it was, what channel, they're all new to me anyway, they said, well, we're hoping that this cold air pushes further south. And I go, hoping? Knock, you said,
What do you mean we?
Right. Are people getting on a flight to go somewhere warm hoping it snows? The fuck right. they are.
Right.
People that have to commute a long way? The fuck they are.
Right.
And it brought to mind, Buck Hance, whether or not there is an unspoken premise of neutrality.
No.
With weather people.
There isn't.
Are they not in any way obliged to at least
not like sports.
Call balls and strikes? And not say we're hoping for something?
Especially in this day and age when the news is so much more folksy. And it's always been folksy, the repartee between the anchors. And depending on what city you go to, you can cringe at watching the repartee. But then you had Glenn Brenner and Gordon Peterson, which was some of the best repartee ever. George Michael and Jim Vance, fabulous stuff. Not patterned
Ron Burgundy and Victoria Corningstone.
Perfect.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
That's
you've got a brain the size of a bird. It's science.
In my news movies, that's in the top five with my
it's so good
with my favorite, which is Broadcast News.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is Albert Brooks after he's sitting on his couch watching the anchor. And he goes, there's a bunch of military might, and Albert Brooks is sitting on his couch and going, a lot of alliteration from anxious anchors placed in powerful posts.
That's really good.
I mean,
the idea is, and we're not going to get snow. It's just going to be rain, and it's going to be whatever. Buck wants to do a supercut of the weather people locally on Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, all the way up until either the storm comes or it doesn't, but especially right. when it just fizzles or blows right. out to sea or whatever,
right?
To show what?
Well, the problem with that is none of the other anchors, the news anchors, are going to challenge the weather people. I would occasionally do this with Sue Palka, where I'd say, Sue, what happened to the snow we were supposed to get? Nobody's ever going to do that. So when Friday comes and there's no chance, when the forecast has changed tremendously 180 degrees, no anchor is going to say to Doug Kammerer, Doug, on Monday you were all excited about this snow. What happened? Nobody's going to do that. So it would be somewhat anticlimactic.
That would be so great if they did, though.
Wouldn't it?
So you say, hey, Doug, would you consider taking a pay cut?
But I hate to be the court-appointed attorney for weathermen, and I know several of them in Milwaukee, and they're good dudes.
Yeah, no, they're great.
It's the fucking weather. It changes.
It does change.
And they have to make sort of predictions well ahead of time.
Well, they have to, but see, that's why we as viewers should have learned by now that you cannot forecast the weather past 2 or 3 days. Even as technologically advanced as it's become.
So why do they go beyond?
Because people want to...
They want to plan their
week. It doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong.
Okay.
But they want to... Well, forget about planning.
Is this what's called wish casting?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's why you see a 7 days and sometimes, God forbid, a 10-day forecast. Nobody knows what's going to happen 10 days from now.
Staff.
Nobody knows that.
Do you think AI will solve weather forecasting where it is accurate?
I don't think
up to 7-8 days in advance?
I don't think so, because now you look at these models, and that's the other thing that cracks me up.
The models.
Well, the European model says NAM. We're not sure about that. And
the European models that just showed us.
I know. You like that, don't you?
You know how many people are going to be bothering me after this via email? Why didn't you get a picture of them?
Flip that camera around.
Why do you think they came over? I tell you what, my theory on this.
Okay.
Go for it.
The modern woman is attracted to any media that looks official, that could get them a little slice of viral fame. They saw us in this side room, us three Altacockers, doing a podcast, talking about stuff they don't give a shit about. But they saw microphones and a setup.
And Buck.
I think they saw the French fries myself. They wanted some fries.
Their diet is two rice cakes and some clear liquor.
Yeah.
And an evening with the remote control.
That's an interesting theory, because I wouldn't have thought that.
Why would those very sporty 28-year-olds, maybe, with the elite thigh gap, why would they even come talk to us? Why would they want to interject?
That's a good question. They were very engaging.
Don't sell yourself short.
Notice they did. Well, there's a curtain closed. They couldn't see us. So maybe they heard our masculine repartee, our banter, and they're like, I want to be amongst some men.
Figured there was some grotesque overdevelopature in there.
Right. So why would they come and interject? It's a fascinating thing.
It is.
Because you know what they did? You know what they did not do? They did not ask a single question.
Yeah, but who are you and what are you doing?
What is this?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Commanders? Oh, I'm a fan, or I know some, like, curiosity.
They may be doing the weather next week. It's very possible.
So, speaking of Anchorman, did you see any of the TGL the other night, the indoor golf league? That
I did not, but I like that. We've had this conversation.
Here's Will Ferrell. They had Will Ferrell introduce the players.
For the Jupiter Lynx, a 23-year-old man who putts with an old man's broomstick, Akshay Bhatia. In the middle, a 6-time PGA Tour winner who used to be good at golf, Max Homa.
Dagger.
And anchoring Jupiter is a player who should really quit and just get back in the broadcast booth. Hey, you might want to duck when it's time for him to chip, everyone. Kevin Kistner.
Get one off the flag.
And now it's time to meet the New York Golf Club. Yeah, New York. Leading off for New York, the former frontman of the Golf Boys, Ricky Fowler. In the middle, the most data-driven player in the entire PGA Tour. And yet, interesting fun fact, he never graduated college. Not by a mile. Matt Fitzpatrick. And the Anchorman. Great movie, by the way. Isn't that a great movie? Right?
Yeah.
Great f***ing movie. The most talkative player in the TGL. He's a real chatty Cathy. The guy needs to shut up. Someone should buy him a muzzle. Cameron Young.
Which, of course, is not at all.
Right. See, I would watch for that.
Yeah.
The golf doesn't do much for me, but
it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't for me as I watch that. So you see,
Nothing else to watch, though.
Yeah. I know. Well, college basketball.
I watched Maryland last night till 12:30 at night. How many people were doing that?
What's that?
I watched you last night.
Why?
12:30.
Why?
Well, I wanted to see what you were wearing.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I could see the head a little bit. I like to focus on the press table to see as you go by if I can spot you.
It's not hard. The gleam and the glare.
But no, my thinking was, I'm going to be with this guy in 12 hours, and he's in Los Angeles.
Amazing.
To me, I feel like there's an Anchorman 3 waiting to be written and shot with Ferrell. Ferrell still looks good. He's funny as shit.
Yep.
He has that rich tonality and that way of delivery that is absolute catnip. You can't
so good.
Not laugh at it.
And
I can already see what... So the first sequel, Anchorman 2, was about the transition to the cable age and how that was difficult for him to navigate. The third installment is of the post-actual linear news age where he's trying to become an influencer. He's trying to navigate the digital world with all the apps and everything else.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's make it.
I'd love to see it myself. I don't know, though.
Is there a favorite part of that movie for you?
Anchorman or Anchorman 2?
No, one.
The whole thing is gold. There's not a single scene that bores me in the original one. I love every single part of it.
I think you're right. Pretty much everything. The scene where he's trying to hit on Veronica in the newsroom.
When he has the heart on.
When he has the heart on.
Mr. Burgundy, you have an enormous erection.
And then his reaction when he looks down.
It's the pleats.
In classic.
Why can't they make
funny movies? Don't act like you're not impressed.
Why can't they make funny movies again? Please, for the love of God.
There's only one or two of those guys. He's him.
No, there's new funny guys. It takes Hollywood to commit to it. Mm. We paid money to go sit in a theater to watch those movies. Nobody's making comedies anymore for theaters. It's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Can I get you to weigh in on Tony Romo, Buckhands?
What about him?
He appears, boys, to have gone off the rails.
I'll let Buck go first.
Well, in what fashion? I mean, I think he's great.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I like it. I think he's great. And
oh,
I think...
Oh, go God. No, 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 stop. Stop. Help him out, please.
Yeah, I'm way over Tony Romo. What, and I'm also not... I also think he brings out the worst in Jim Nance.
Yes.
Because Nance is...
Has to run along and pick up his messes.
Jim had to... change the way he broadcasts.
Yeah, yeah, he's a pro.
So I'm curious. You like him. Do you really listen?
Well, he's maybe I haven't listened enough lately. It's very possible from what you guys are saying. I just know that I really enjoyed the fact that he knows the game. I think he, and the fact that he would call a play before it happened, that never bothered me. I kind of like that.
Doesn't happen anymore because he can't play that. He can't predict him anymore.
Okay.
It's too far out of football. And he doesn't work at it either.
But him... I think Aikman is fantastic. I love him. I think he's great. And Brady was good in his last game.
Okay, let's talk Brady.
Really good.
How do you feel about Brady?
I like him.
Brady's getting better. And somebody made a point on Twitter saying, when Brady first came on and people were kind of crushing him, a lot of it was jealousy, but also none of them failed to realize this is what he does. He overcame being... pick number 199.
Yeah, he's going to work at it.
He was on a psychotic level of constant improvement as a player. You don't think he'd do the same as a broadcaster? And that's what he's doing.
Leaps and bounds. And I also think those guys benefit. You mentioned Aikman, and I like Aikman a lot, but he benefits by working with the best play-by-play guy in sports, I think. Buck, I think he's interesting. He's funny. He's self-deprecating. And I just think he's legit good. And I think the guy, Burkhardt, who works with Brady, is good.
Burkhardt is excellent. No question about it.
Oh, Buck is cringing.
Oh, okay. We found a guy that Buck is not a super fan of. Care to elaborate?
I meant to show you this. I don't know if we can do it. I can send it to you. I don't know if you can
superimpose
inject it into your superimpose. I can, yeah.
What is it?
Do it in post-production.
We can act it out.
I can show you.
Show it to us.
So it's what I call the play-by-play obligatory look back at camera smile in the open.
Oh, that's awkward. I get it.
Kevin's the master of it.
Okay.
We'll do it every time without fail. And it's so insincere, it makes me a little bit nauseous.
Okay.
Now, he's a pretty good play-by-play guy, but that open... is brutal for me to watch.
Can I tell you, I don't ever watch the opens in a situation like that. I'm just talking about the administration of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I watch all of it.
Buckhands?
I love the opens.
Buckhands?
Yes.
What in the fuck are you talking about? If I may, who hurt you? That's number one. Number two, the shit that you care about is so non-nutritive or important, okay?
Watch after he tosses.
The fact that you've got this on your phone as some kind of broadcasting teach tape. Yeah, he smiled for the camera. What a crime. What's he supposed to do? Pose for a mugshot?
See, that's why I like Tirico. He'll toss it to Collinsworth and just listen to him.
He's why?
He's not looking back as if to say... Me too.
Hi, I'm here doing a game. I'm happy.
I'm a happy guy, and I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me. Just listen to the guy who's the color guy that's doing the analysis, and really listen to him. Don't look back at some insincere bullshit.
Buck, you're doing JMU TV on basketball games.
Yes.
Does the play-by-play guy look at you in the open, or does he look at the camera? Do you know?
He does both. And for JMU games, I'm doing the color.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't look back at the camera with that goofy-ass smile. I'll look at him and just listen to see what he has to say. I'll look at the camera for the open when we first come on.
Yeah.
And then as he's talking, I turn and look at him.
You know what this reminds me of? The great Rob Riggle exchange with we just talked about him, Will Ferrell.
You got a punchable face
in Step Brothers.
Face, but I want to deliver one of these right in your suck hole.
Is there anything I can do to work on that?
No, so you not really. It's your face. And I, again, you know.
No, it's not. Steve, so it's the smile. Well, can I do anything about that? No, just, you know, you just suck. I don't care about how good your play-by-play calls are. You smile at the camera after setting up Brady to open the show. How dare
great,
you?
Man, this is the Kettle and Wine. Yeah. We're all having a great time. Everybody's having fun. You pulled it off, all right? But if you don't change your face, I'm going to change it for you.
Okay. I'll Catalina wine mixer.
Consider it, and I'll try to do my best version of whatever I think that would be.
I don't even hear what you're saying right now because your face is driving me.
That's hysterical.
Oh, Buck.
I watch games differently than other people.
You truly do.
I do.
Can I get you to weigh in on one more thing? And I'm a huge Joe Buck stan. Not just a fan, I'm a stan. I think he's elite. He's awesome.
What Joe is Buck a stan?
Stan is a word for somebody more than just a fan.
Oh, interesting. No, I think he's great. I think he's outstanding. As Naki said, I would put him up there with Ian Eagle and Jim Nance. I think he's great.
So
if he wasn't so cocky, I'd think he was the greatest play-by-play guy ever.
In the dictionary, Stan is slang for an overzealous or obsessive fan.
Interesting. Okay.
Of a particular celebrity. So I'm a stan of Buck. He's
okay.
Great.
Yeah, he's good.
There's one thing he's saying now more and more, which every time I hear it, I go, who says that? When a quarterback is about to get sacked, he says,
down he goes.
Nope. And time runs out. Rodgers back to throw. Time runs out. Incomplete to DK Metcalf as he gets walloped. Time runs out. I've never heard that as a phrase in play-by-play in football. And again, Buck is amazing. This is an interesting wrinkle for me.
Well, it's always nice to have different wrinkles because as announcers, especially play-by-play guys, we tend to latch on to the same phrase
crutches
all the time.
Yeah.
I always look for something a way to say something differently. But if you listen to these guys, and I've told you before about every color announcer, analyst, who says, I tell you, I'm telling you, I want to tell you what. That's the most overused phrase by leaps and bounds, the most overused phrase by the analyst. But the play-by-play guys, we all say the same thing because it's ingrained in us to say it. So when a guy comes off the field, he comes off under his own power, right?
Yes.
Under his own power. Every time.
Agreed.
How about he just comes off on his own?
Just walks.
Or how about...
does not need assistance.
Right. You know, there's...
Or you can just leave it unsaid. People have eyes.
Yeah, well...
Oh, he's walking
back
off.
Yeah. Yeah, he's back on the sideline.
I cannot stand the phrase, as we were talking about earlier. I don't care. Just tell me what you're seeing. As we were talking about earlier, you know, Joe,
you
as,
don't
we,
like
were
that. Yeah,
as earlier, we were discussing like that, earlier, yeah. or we talked to so-and-so earlier in the week, I don't need that.
Or how about when a guy's running,
what you're seeing.
Running with a football and he keeps going, he's hit, he keeps going, he's still on his feet every time. He's still on his feet.
Yeah.
How about he keeps running, he's still churning, he's dancing, he's moving.
All right, let's wrap this up. Naki's got to go back to bed. Naki, what's in store for you this week now that you're back from the West Coast?
Penn State on, by the way, we were talking about the worst Big Ten
road
towns.
Trips. Yeah, tough road trips in the winter.
State College is number one.
Because you can't get there from here.
And it's
by hook or by crook.
You have to drive, you know, or puddle jumpers. By the time you get to the airport, go through security, do all that stuff, it just takes forever to do that. So you drive up there.
Okay.
Weather is such a variable during the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
But Penn State is here, fortunately, on Sunday. Hopefully it's not a blizzard.
here we are in Washington. I don't think they're going to have anything this weekend.
And then next week at Illinois, at Michigan State.
Okay. Buck Hance, what about you? You going somewhere warm?
I'm headed down to Central Florida to play a couple rounds of golf, where the forecast high temperature on Friday is 58 degrees.
Oh, that's lovely. Be a wonderful
58
day.
58 degrees. That's
Cold? Is that too cold for you?
Well, you know my minimum. I have my 60 degree. I have a 60 degree rule.
What's that?
Some people have a 90 degree rule.
For cart paths?
Yeah, mine's a 60 degree rule. I don't play if it's below 60.
Well, yeah, it'll be 58 in the morning, and then it'll warm up to 65. What's the problem?
No, it'll be 40 in the morning, and then it'll warm up to 50.
He's got the squeeze there. It'll be fine.
I know your problem. I figured out what happened. You want me to give you the answer?
You chose to go to Orlando. That's your problem. You should have kept going to West Palm, kept going down to Boca.
Well, Naki and I are
going to
do that.
You
got
to get all the way
months.
Down to Miami. Thanks for the invite. You got to get further south because you're going to catch these stray weekends there. Let me end on this. How do you know what's a good neighborhood versus a bad neighborhood?
How?
If men are riding bikes and drinking in the daytime, it's a bad neighborhood. If women are riding bikes and drinking in the daytime, it's a good neighborhood. The Palm is in a great neighborhood. Tyson's Corner, come on down. Have yourself a power lunch with you, your friends, your family, your housewives who are spending the money of their mans with their weird plushies who are interrupting podcasts. Just come on by. Ask for Dennis, Alex, Jared, all the guys here that take such great care of us. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.